Welcome to Beyond Transcripts, the podcast for educators who want to meet and exceed best practices in transcripts and education management. Whether you're a homeschooling veteran or just thinking about dipping your toes in the water, having some ideas for how to make this a smooth process can be really helpful. So today, we're joined by Holly Urbach, a homeschooling veteran who has homeschooled her five older children from elementary school through high school, graduating four of them, and she'll be starting her homeschooling journey again with her sixth child soon. She shares lots of great ideas for us, both for parents and for kids, about how to make the most of a homeschool experience. Having an organization that you're involved with, a sense of community can really be helpful. Gathering tips, ideas, and resources, Holly shares what she's found helpful, how she's been so rewarded by this journey, and shares a little bit of what her kids have taken from it. She also lets us know about how to help make a smooth transition to or from homeschool if that's a part of your journey. Stick around. Okay, we are here with Holly, and we are discussing tips and tricks to homeschool through high school. So Holly, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So I think you are probably the most experienced homeschooler I have ever had the privilege of talking to. So we are glad to have you here. So share with us about your homeschool experience.
Well, we started in 1993 because my oldest child had been in public school for pre-K and kinder and first grade. And I was a very involved school parent. So I was at the school a lot. And what I saw in her classroom concerned me when I thought of my next child going to school. They had a chair in the corner of the classroom with a sad face on it. And I saw little boys sitting in that chair a lot. And so my next child was a little boy who never sat down. And I thought, oh, if I send him to school, he's going to be in trouble all the time for being an active little boy. And that just broke my heart. Yeah. So in 1993, we tried homeschooling for 1 year and we're still homeschooling.
Wow. So did you start with your oldest daughter in homeschool? You took her and started her with homeschool, or did you start with your son?
Well, we started everybody. So,
okay, so everyone started all together.
Right. So she was going to begin second grade in the fall and he was going to begin kinder. A lot of my kids have fall birthdays, so they are older normally than many kids. So we started with those two actively schooling. But at that same time, I also had a three-year-old and an 18-month-old, and I was newly pregnant. So I had a preschool for the 18-month-old and the three-year-old, and then we had kinder and second grade.
Oh my goodness. For anyone who's not watching this video and is only listening to the audio, my jaw just dropped practically. To the floor, because as a mom of two children who are spaced 3 years apart, I'm in awe of anyone who can do what you did. I mean, I still have to pick my jaw back up about all of that. So, okay, so at your peak, how many kids were you homeschooling at the same time? Were all five of them being homeschooled?
Yeah, there was quite a bit of time when everyone was schooling. Yeah, but so many homeschool parents that have a lot of children, we learn to be really efficient. And so we could take a topic such as, say, history, and we can teach it to all the children at the same time by doing something, reading something aloud. And then you give the older children challenging projects and the smaller children just have basic things to do. So we did that with Bible. We did that with science to a certain point. Once they get into high school, it's a little different. But when you're talking about elementary into middle school, you can kind of teach a big group of people the same thing and then just slap them off into separate projects for their skill levels.
That's so interesting. So obviously, like you said, high school gets a little more complicated, right? Because the subject matter is just tougher in general. But when you have kids that are younger, let's say I'm a parent who's considering homeschooling, right? I have this feeling that my public school is not a great fit for me and my family, but I'm nervous. I'm not really sure if I can do homeschool. I don't know if I can teach. What would you say to a parent like me who's feeling like maybe that's a choice, but I just don't know if I can do it?
Well, you're normal. You're normal. Everybody feels like that. whenever we start homeschooling, right, we're like, oh my gosh, it's all on me. And how am I going to do this? The good news is you only have to do a year at a time. You only have to do a day at a time, really. And people worry, like I counsel a lot of homeschoolers and they'll say, well, you know, what if I don't know everything? And I say, you only have to be a few pages ahead in the book. So, and if you're starting with young kids, like I did with a kindergartner and a second grader, really, it's not that daunting. You know, you've already been reading and writing and doing basic math for years. You can do this. And we grow and we mature as our students grow and mature. And so every year I got more abilities and I got more comfortable and, you know, I can still do basic algebra. So it was rewarding for me as well.
And are there resources for parents to help the parents teach? Or when you enter homeschool, is it really more about, you know, here's the support in the curriculum that your students are using?
Oh, no, there's, so most communities have some type of a homeschool support group, maybe a regional support group, if not in your town. I'm in Texas and Texas is a great place to homeschool. We are private schools and as such, we're not regulated. So we're really free to do a lot of great things with our kids. And we have a lot of organizations of support. We have a state organization, and then there are smaller regional organizations, and there are city organizations. I'm involved in a county organization Wow. here where I live. So yeah, there's a lot of support for parents to help you with your homeschooling.
And I know that one of the, again, you know, sort of knowing a parent like myself who's maybe, you know, could this be an option? Here are some of the things that I think might not work. I know in my area, when parents have considered homeschooling, you know, they sort of worry about more of that social
aspect. Oh yeah. That
can you speak to that?
That makes me laugh so hard because I have to tell people to please go home and do some school. Homeschoolers are socialized very well. They're very well-rounded. Homeschool kids interact with adults and kids of all ages. They are out in the community, and the homeschoolers I know, their kids are doing community service as early as the community service organizations will let them get in there. They are volunteering at the animal shelter. They're wrapping gifts for Blue Santa. They're doing everything. I mean, they are out in the community. There's no problem with socialization. Whereas sometimes in public school, you know, a child will only be with their same age peers. And so that's not very well-rounded socialization. When you're with people who are exactly like you, you're going to take up their habits and their behaviors. That's why, you know, when I was in high school, every other sentence had like in it, like this, like that, because everyone I was with, that's how yeah. they talked. And that's where my modeling was.
Yeah. My son just came home from camp a couple weeks ago and started saying it. And I had to have this whole conversation with him about, you know, people will judge you, unfortunately, based on how you speak. And this is not a word we want to use quite so often. So now he's the like police. So anytime my husband and I say, even if it's appropriate, it's an appropriate use of the word like, and sometimes it isn't because we're all guilty. He yells from the backseat in the car, can't say like.
Can't say yes, like. 6-year-olds are really black and white, aren't they?
Yes, they are. It's fun and it's challenging all at the same time. But yeah, it is so interesting when they are around that same age group, what they tend to pick up from each other. That socialization they're getting is not always the best. But it's interesting because I think depending on the community that you're in, that community of homeschoolers becomes really important. Again, I'm in the Bay Area and I think there are more families doing this homeschooling, but I know that's been a concern is will there be sort of these like-minded families that, you know, that we can connect with? But you make a great point that it's not just the kids, it's being out in the community. You're not, you know, glued to a classroom from 8:30 a.m. till 3 p.m. You can be out in the community. You can mm-hmm. be, you know, involved. You don't just have to be at home.
Right. Yeah. The misconception is that homeschoolers are sitting at home and they're socially awkward. And yes, there are people like that, but you see those people in public school too. You right. and I went to public school and there were awkward people in my school. I mean, just, yeah. it has to do with what kind of person you are. Not what method of schooling you're pursuing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that unfortunately there are some misunderstandings about homeschool and it's great to sort of clarify what your experience has been. So for you, what have you found the most rewarding? Let's start with for yourself as a mom and now as an educator, what's been most rewarding?
Well, I'm the oldest of four children. And my mom once said to me, when I was talking to her about homeschooling and things I knew about my kids, she said, you know, I didn't know you kids that well. And I thought, wow, that's sad. I mean, I know my children really, really well. And as adults, because the five oldest are adults, we're friends. We do fun things together. We talk to each other. We go to movies together. We have a great relationship. And I think that's the most rewarding thing I'm taking away from my homeschooling experience. I'm not saying that public school families don't have great relationships with their kids, but right. For me to really have deep relationships with my kids, that has been the biggest reward for me.
That's amazing. And so again, you're very close to your kids and they're now adults. So it's possible you've spoken about this, but what do you think either your perception of what's been rewarding for them, or maybe even what they've communicated to you that they've appreciated about their homeschool experience, especially since they're all sort of out of it, except for the little one?
Yeah. So it's interesting. Four of the five oldest feel like it was a very good experience. Now, my youngest adult child, she feels that it was good, but that she thinks maybe it would have been better for her to go to public school. However, I don't agree, because she has some issues that I know if she had been in public school, it would have made life a little challenging for her. Mm-hmm. But she's the youngest of the five. And I think that we give her a couple more years, I think she will come to appreciate it. But yeah, the others have thanked me for homeschooling. And then they have also said, I don't plan to do this. It's a hard job.
Yeah, so. That I think is one of the things that I am most impressed by. I have a friend who our sons were in kindergarten together, and she decided to homeschool all three of her children. Mm-hmm. Because they were having, there were concerns basically at each grade level. So she thought, well, why am I continuing to do this? I will homeschool. And I'm constantly impressed by her, because parenting is a hard job on its own. And so I think then when you take on educating your kids, which many parents take so seriously, right? It's the education of our kids that's so important, and that sets their path for their life. It's a big responsibility. And so that's a lot to take on. And I think I know for me, from a patient standpoint, I'm just like, I could not do that. That is not me. And so I'm just always so amazed and so impressed with the parents who make that choice and who are able to support their kids in that way. It's fantastic.
I just want to touch on something you mentioned, because it always makes me laugh, is that people will say, I don't have the patience. And nobody has the patience till they develop it. It's the same thing with your six-year-old. Remember teaching him to use the toilet?
Oh, I'm going through it now. I know it with the three-year-old. Okay.
Yeah. And you know, but you've done it already. So right. You have more patience and more understanding. Yeah. It's the same thing. None of us who homeschool are paragons of patience. We've been through the fire to develop it. But we didn't start out as, you know, these saintly people, and I'm not a saintly person now.
Right. No, and I think that's a really good point, is that, yeah, even if you don't see yourself as a patient person, that there can be success for you in this. I also just know my other strong qualities, and
it's not a one size fits all. And I tell people that all the time, like, the fact that I homeschool my children is no means a commentary on how you're schooling your child. It's right. Just what fits for our family.
Absolutely. And what I think is also, you know, a lot of people's experience is that, you know, if they haven't done homeschooling before, they start in public school, right? Which is where mm-hmm. we are, which is where my friend was. And then if you realize this is not working for us and there is another way, then you can take that option mm-hmm. and you can decide, okay, does this fit for me? I will develop the skills to make this work for me. So yeah, you don't necessarily have to know now that this is what you want to do. You may sort of find yourself on that path at some point later on. So obviously, you know, I've talked about the challenges that I would likely find. Have you faced challenges along the way?
Oh, yes, of course. I had a student who just didn't like to do any of her schoolwork. Mm. She particularly hated math, and we found out later that she had a math disability. But I had to be creative with her. So I think she was in fifth grade, and she said, I am so tired of math. And I said, great. You know what? You don't have to do math today. And she thought that was fantastic. And so a little bit later, she came to me and asked if I could make Kool-Aid. And I said, I'm sorry. You know, I got a measure to make Kool-Aid, and that's math. So I can't do that. She said, fine, I'll drink water. Can you cut my sandwich into kitty corners? I said, no, that's math too. So after a few of these interchanges where she asked me to do things that involved math, mm-hmm. finally she took her math paper and said, I'll go do my math.
Wow.
So, you know, you have to kind of, each child will bring their own challenges. Some of them have issues. My son with Asperger's, he took a long time to learn to read. Mm-hmm. He didn't read till he was almost 11. And so I had done a lot of research and I knew that this could be an issue. We just kept being patient with him and letting him narrate things, reading to him. But every child will bring you a challenge, but the great news is there are always some resources available to meet that challenge. You can talk to other parents. You can do research online. You can read books. There's always a way to surmount the challenge, even from a homeschooler.
Right. And I would imagine that now going through this again with your 6-year-old versus your older kids, who the oldest is early 30s, that there are so many more resources and support for homeschooling now. You know, these educators who are writing these fantastic blogs with support and activities mm-hmm. and ideas, these online communities, you know, these actual physical communities of people. I would imagine it can feel like a very different experience starting it now versus in the early 90s when you first started.
Well, you know, it's really funny. We have easier ways to connect with each other. But when I started in the 90s, I subscribed to a publication called The Teaching Home. And that came as a monthly magazine, and that came, and boy, that was like my lifeline. And we had our local homeschool group that we went, they had a monthly meeting for parents, and they had to put on a conference, and we had park days. Some of it's still the same. It's just accessed in a different format. So it's been kind of fun for me to see that change from 2013 when I was finishing up homeschooling my formerly youngest to now, getting back into the homeschool world with my 6-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've been through sort of the spectrum of a lot of different points, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So let's stick with parents. So I'm sure you've got a lot of, you know, good tips. So what are some of your maybe tips or ideas to support parents on this homeschooling journey through high school?
Okay. Well, I think, you know, we've talked about one of the most important things is get support for yourself. So find your tribe. You know, that's the popular thing now, right? Find your tribe. So find the local support groups. Facebook, there's a great Facebook support group for the greater Austin area where I live. And I'm sure there are support groups where anybody listening to us today live that are on Facebook. So find your local support group. And in our instance, they're online and then they do all kinds of activities in the area. So, but get involved with other parents because they're the one that can say, yeah, my kid did that too. That's normal. You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt that way too. That's normal. They can just give you the pat on the back and a sounding ear and help through a rough patch. Mm-hmm. So that I think is number one. You've got to have that support. Mom's night, park day. We used to do park days and the kids and parents would get together. And we had a rule, a 6-foot rule. The parents would say, kids cannot come within 6 feet of the parents. You go play. The park day is not just for you. It's for us too.
I love that.
So that's how we would, you know, that's how we would support each other. And then, you know, as I don't recommend this as much for younger kids, although some people really like it. But as my kids got older, I found getting involved in co-ops or enrichment academies or online classes, mm-hmm. those kind of things were really important because I don't care if you're the smartest person that's ever homeschooled. Your brain can only output so much information. And it's also good for your kids to learn, to be able to learn from other people and get that classroom experience. I used to run an enrichment academy. And one of the things we had to teach the kids was, you know, you're not the only one in the class and you have to consider somebody else and give them time. And so as your kids get older, those things are really helpful to prepare them for their eventual college career or work career. And they kind of take some of the burden off you as the homeschooling parent as well.
Yeah, those are some great tips. So what about for the students? It's probably the parents listening to this podcast. but any tips for the students that parents can pass on to them about being sort of successful homeschool students?
Yeah, well, the first thing is I would say is to be responsible for yourself, for your school. You know, yes, your teacher slash parent is there to teach you, but you have a responsibility to be a good student, to pay attention, to do your work. And as the kids get older, you know, they need to keep a calendar and they need to start learning time management skills, and they need to not expect their parents to manage all the aspects of their lives for them. You know, they need to start taking some responsibility. At about 13 years old, they really can start to maybe, you can give them what their assignments are for the day and they can plan the order to do them in. Some parents will give their kids assignments for a week and the kid will do all the English in one day. And then the next day do all their math. You know, give them that opportunity to learn what works for them when they're younger, so the kids can learn how to manage their time.
Yeah, those are great ideas. So I guess the final question I have is, any tips on transition? Because this homeschool journey can start at different times, right? Mm-hmm. If you start in kindergarten, you know I'm going to homeschool. There's not a transition for your child, right? They just start in homeschool. This is what they know. But what about those kids, especially as they get older and you decide, you know, homeschool is for us, or maybe like your daughter, she earlier on, let's say, she felt homeschool was not for her. And you felt like, okay, maybe you're right. Let's try public school. So do you have any thoughts on transition sort of one way or the other, in or out of homeschool?
Sure. So my oldest daughter, when she was going to enter ninth grade, she wanted to go to public school. Mm. And so we talked about it and we decided, okay, let's let her try this. Because she was entering as a ninth grader and we weren't claiming any credits, it was pretty seamless. Mm-hmm. And so most people, I think, wherever you are, if you're putting a child in at ninth grade, that's going to be pretty easy. You know, the child will have to learn things like how to get around the school and get in the classroom, you know, on time, things like that. But that's pretty seamless. Now, if you're entering after you've already been in high school, mm-hmm. that's another ball of wax, and every school district will address that differently. Getting kids, taking them out of public school, you would be surprised. Even when I started my daughter in second grade, she really was in a public school mindset, to mm-hmm. the point where she wanted her grilled cheese sandwich the way they made it at school on a lunch tray. And so I went to the store, like a thrift store, and I found some lunch trays. Mm-hmm. And so for a while, I did things to kind of make that transition more comfortable for her.
Yeah.
That's when we got involved with the park day, because she was a very sociable, very active young woman. So we started going to park day. But when you're bringing a kid out, especially if you made the decision and they weren't really involved in it, you kind of have to do things that give them a measure of comfort.
Yeah.
Make sure they still can be involved with their school friends from public school. But also we see issues where kids ask to be homeschooled.
Yeah.
And they beg, can you get me out? I want to homeschool. And especially when they're in high school, that is actually going to be really much easier, because the child's already on your side.
Right. They're already driven by them.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think those are great tips to just sort of ease that transition and make it as easy as possible for everyone. And obviously it's easier when it's motivated by the child, or they're young enough that maybe they don't feel that transition yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This has been great. I think this was a really helpful conversation about just some tips and ideas to support your students and yourself through this homeschooling journey. Any final thoughts for us today, Holly?
No, I think it's just, if you're going to homeschool, you're going to have to realize that there are ups and downs, and that you just need to get support to get through it, just like we do in every other area of our lives, right?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This has been great.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We are so thankful that Holly shared all of those great tips and ideas with us. After that many years of homeschooling, it's no wonder she has such great advice. So if you'd like more information sent to you, don't forget that we have a newsletter, so these podcasts and our blog posts can be sent directly to you. And if you are interested in streamlining your transcript process, don't forget you can check us out with a 14-day free trial.